love, courage, truth.
The Constitution will save us all because dogma lives loudly within you. Dogma lives loudly within you. That's what Senator Dianne Feinstein told a nominee for the judgeship on the Seventh Circuit. Amy Barrett is a Notre Dame law professor, mother of seven. And God forbid she's also a Catholic. Her Catholicism came up a number of times during her hearing last week, but none of it was as disturbing as Feinstein's line of questioning.
Why is it that so many of us on this side have this very uncomfortable feeling that, you know, dogma and law are two different things? And I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally different. And I think in your case, Professor, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years. Wow. In this country.
The dogma lives loudly within you. Well, it lived loudly with all of our founders. It lived loudly in Abraham Lincoln. The question is today, can you be a person of faith and serve your nation? Can you serve on one of the nation's highest courts? Can you serve at all? Can you be both a constitutionally illiterate person and serve in the United States Senate? Apparently the answer there is yes. These lines of questioning, they're not new. The truth is they say more about the dogmatic views of the senators that ask them. But make no mistake, there's no difference between this question and have you ever been or are you now a member of the Communist Party? You see, Amy Barrett's real sin here is not her Catholic faith. It's that her personal view disagrees with the senator's dogma. Her personal view, specifically abortion. The danger here is the increasingly hostile attitude toward faith. Or if I can, let's call a spade a spade. Religious bigotry. Unfortunately, that is the dogma that seems to live in the hearts of far too many in Washington.
Monday, September 11th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Now think about 16 years ago, September 11th, 2001. Think about how everyone came out on the front steps. Jesse Jackson, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and all of the conservative Republicans, the Trent Lotts of the world. Think about how they all stood arm in arm and they sang the national anthem. And here we are today with Time Magazine placing on its cover Colin Kaepernick. The debate about privilege, pride, and patriotism. The Perilous Fight is what it is. That's what the title is on Time Magazine. The Perilous Fight. The Perilous Fight? This is a heroic gesture to take a knee during the national anthem? This is heroic now. They said he has spawned a national debate and protests from the rest of the NFL to high schools and colleges across the country. This is an amazing stat. 44% of NFL fans, 44% now say they're willing to give up watching the league if the protests continue. How real is that?
I'm a skeptic on these things, as you may know. It's amazing to see that that stuff continues to go on. I don't know that I buy any of it. I saw Stephen A. Smith, who I generally like Stephen A. Smith, but he tweeted something to the effect of, like, you know, the Colts quarterback this weekend was terrible, Scott Tolzien, and they had to pull him out of the game after a first half. And he said, this is why people are fired up about the Kaepernick thing. They think he should have a job, and it's because of these protests and everything else, and it's because he's black, I guess, is the insinuation there. Of course, he was replaced by a black quarterback that the Colts traded for. They could have had Kaepernick for free, and they traded for a different black quarterback. So I don't know how much of it is this about race and how much of it is about Colin Kaepernick being terrible.
Kaepernick was voted by the fans as the most hated player in the NFL. One general manager of the NFL said 70% of the NFL teams, quote, genuinely hate him, end quote. He is also near the bottom of the ESPN total quarterback ratings, rankings. So how is this guy getting away with, we should hire him? That's because the protests are all about that now. Somebody needs to hire him. He sucks.
He sucks.
And nobody likes him.
Right. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins is another player who's doing the same thing as Colin Kaepernick. He's on the Eagles. He's a safety on the Eagles. He's one of the best safeties in the league. No problem keeping his job. You know why? I mean, he's sitting for and putting his best fist up for national anthems, and he agrees completely with Kaepernick. He's on that side of the argument, yet has no turbulence whatsoever. It's because he's good. And that's what people care about. He's good. Now, you can make the argument that Kaepernick should appear on a roster somewhere as a third stringer or something, and maybe he would without this. But it's hard to want to bring in this sort of controversy when the guy should barely be on an NFL roster. And that's the problem he's facing. He's just not good enough.
Where does this guy go from here? Where does Kaepernick go from here? What, seriously.
Cuba? I don't.
Right. I mean, what is he? He is just going to be, I mean, he is an angry guy. And if he doesn't get his way, there will be people who just fuel that anger. I mean, he's not going to go away. What happens? What is the future of Colin Kaepernick? And what's the future of the NFL? Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots.
Oh, I loved it.
Well, you were one of the few. 13% decline in viewership from the last year's opening game. 13% decline. Anything to do with Colin Kaepernick and all of this?
I think it might have something to do with it. I think people tend to overinflate how much it has to do with it, in my opinion. You know, it could be there's a lot of other things going on here, but I do think it's probably some percentage of it. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of news stories. We've got almost been in a nuclear war. We've got massive hurricanes wiping out half of the country. There have been other things on the plate, and maybe that was part of the reason for it. I mean, if you're in Florida, were you that interested in a game? I mean, their games got canceled this weekend, their NFL games, the Dolphins games. And the Bucks happened to play the Dolphins. But I mean, so those games were canceled. I mean, maybe you just weren't in NFL mode when you take out two states or big chunks of two massive media
markets.
This
is Thursday, though.
I know, but still, you're getting prepared for the hurricane, right? I mean, you may not be as into it as normal. And a 13% drop off from, let's be honest, unbelievable numbers. These numbers still, they're still the top show on all of television. Sunday Night Football rules television every year.
Yes and no. I read yesterday, and you're an expert in this, I am not. But I read yesterday that they actually were down last year, that the ratings are going down.
And down from what, I think, is more of the question. Down from unbelievable to unbelievable, right? Like, they are outperforming everybody else. And remember, all other shows are also dropping off. Look at what's happening to cable news.
Look at what's happening to, but I think cable to, news, to scripted television.
Yeah, but I think cable news is different. I think cable news is doing, and perhaps it's not. I think cable news is doing it to itself. I really think that cable news, the problem with cable news is I don't want to watch it anymore. Do you?
I don't know. Yeah, most
I
of
don't.
The time.
I mean, don't know. I don't know anybody who does, unless, like, I watched it this weekend. I want to know what's going on with the hurricane.
Right.
And I want to know about world events, et cetera, et cetera. But I do not. I don't care about any of this political crap anymore. Yeah, I mean, I care about it. I'll read it. But I don't want to hear it anymore.
And it's more of a, you're talking about a very specific thing that occurs on cable news.
Yes.
Right? What, this two boxes, two activists screaming at each other.
I don't care.
Bored to death with
bored
that.
Bored to death.
And that's understandable. There's a lot of other things that go on cable news that you know, that are
news.
That are news.
News.
Yeah, commentary and analysis and perspective. I think those things are important. And you get that sometimes, but it's too rare. It's the easiest thing in the world to throw on two people that hate each other and have them scream their insults, and then they go out for beers afterwards.
Yeah, and here's the problem. With Colin Kaepernick, dude, you realize that read the fifth stanza of the Star Spangled Banner. It's all about the abolition of slavery, all of it. Fifth stanza, read it, look it up. That's what it's about: freeing men. In chains, slaves. That's what it's about. It's about the idea of America. And, you know, you sit there and you're looking at these guys who are making millions of dollars in an American system. And it is the system of stability that is allowing them to make this kind of money. If the government is unstable, if society, culture goes unstable, nobody's going to be making money. Certainly nobody's going to be paying you millions of dollars to go catch a football. And it drives me nuts. And I guess it's because we've been so involved lately with, you know, the hurricanes, and before that with the trying to free the slaves from the sex slave industry, and now actual slaves trying to save the lives of people in the Middle East, worried about our own children and what they're facing, and how are we going to get them a basic education? Let me give you some stats on education. On education in 2004. The debt for college students was $260 billion. So if you went to college, you had a debt, all of the debt for student loans, $260 billion in 2004. Do you know what that is today? $1.4 trillion. The cost of education is going up 41% per year. There are now 1,800 college majors. You wouldn't believe the college majors that you can get now. You can get a college major on Star Wars. You can get a college major on just about anything.
I think I have an honorary degree already.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And you've gone into debt for that? And out of those college majors, only one out of four get a job in their field. You know what this is hurting? This is hurting housing. It is hurting marriage. It is hurting entrepreneurship. The idea that I can get married, have a family, buy a house, start my own business. When you're this much in debt, you're not thinking about buying a house. You got to get out of debt. You're not thinking about getting married because you're not financially responsible enough to have kids. Start your own business? I have too much debt already. This is systematically taking us apart. And what are we doing? We're arguing over the Star Spangled Banner, which the fifth verse is all about stopping slavery? Really? That is how sweet your life is? Colin, man, I think there's a lot of people all around the world that would love to have the sweet-ass gig that you have.
Had.
had the sweet retirement plan that you're under, they'd love to have a fraction of that.
They'd love to have the opportunity to lose their job to Blaine Gabbert, too. They would think that was wonderful. And, you know, that's what happened before he was a protester, before he was Mr. Anti-Police, before he was wearing pig socks. He lost his job to a guy commonly referred to as a complete disaster at quarterback. He lost his job to Blaine Gabbert. And, you know, all these people that want to tell you he should be on a roster might want to remember that.
If you'd like to help out with hurricane relief for either Harvey or Irma, we invite you to participate at mercuryone.org, mercuryone.org, just donate there. We have our partners on the ground for Irma and for Harvey, and it's bad, but we sure appreciate all of your help, all of the information that you need on where the money goes, how the money is spent. I just tell you that every dollar that is earmarked for the hurricanes goes right to the hurricane. There's not a dime that goes anywhere else.
We skim very little off the top.
No, in fact,
just a little.
Sometimes there's none.
Well, there's parties and events that need to happen. You know,
really?
We are in Texas, which is one of the hurricane affected states. So.
Right.
So, no, actually, luckily, yeah. I have nothing to do with it, so it does all go to the hurricane.
Mercuryone.org/hurricane relief and get involved. Also, there's something else called JustServe.org. Not affiliated with me, but I know a lot of people that are using justserve.org. You can go there, and that is those are people on the ground who are saying, hey, our church is doing X, Y, and Z, or our organization, and we really need help in this area. So you can actually go and find the people on the ground that are actually looking and needing help on the ground. Justserve.org or mercuryone.org/hurricane.
A couple other things with it being the 9/11 anniversary. Yeah. First of all, if you're on Twitter, follow Ari Fleischer today. He was, of course, in the Bush administration at the time, and he does a minute-by-minute recap of that day of 9/11/2001 as it happened, and he posts the things as it goes. It's an amazing thing to read during the day because you just forget so many details about what they were thinking and what you were thinking at that time. The other thing I always recommend, and it's a tradition, I think, on this show, this is the one day I always recommend you should watch MSNBC. Because this is the day.
Except they're not doing it this year.
Yeah, this is the day they play the Today Show coverage from 9/11 straight. No commercials, nothing. They're not doing it this way. They are moving away from that coverage, which is, that's sad.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray, Unleashed, begins his own radio broadcast, radio and television, on the Blaze TV. And that begins today.
He's back, and this time, he's pissed off.
And that begins today in about 25 minutes. You can hear it on the Blaze radio network and the Blaze TV network. Just go to theblaze.com, find out more information there. Welcome to the program, Pat.
Thank you. Good to be here. Had you guys seen the New York Times article about the new kind of civil war that's coming?
A new kind of civil war.
Okay.
We're tired of the old way. We want to do something new. Okay.
Yeah.
There's got to be some new ways to kill people.
I don't want to go out on the battlefield dressed in those wool clothing.
It's too hot in Texas for the wool clothing.
Way too hot.
And nobody's willing to do that anymore unless it's air conditioned.
Right.
So we had to find a new way, and apparently we have.
Okay.
The article says, a day after the brawling and racist brutality and deaths in Virginia, which I only remember one death, that didn't seem to be plural, Governor,
there were other people. You're saying that's the only death that happened there?
Violently, yes.
Well, in Virginia?
In Virginia, that day, by the people that they're talking about, instance they're talking about.
A lot of disclaimers
It sounds like an Al Gore piece, doesn't it? Governor Terry McAuliffe asked, how did we get to this place? The more relevant question, though, after Charlottesville and other deadly episodes in Ferguson, Charleston, Dallas, St. Paul, Baltimore, Baton Rouge, and Alexandria, which they're lumping even Dallas in, which was five police officers shot, was not the same thing that they're talking about in these other cities, is where is the United States headed? How fragile is the Union, our republic, and a country that has long been considered the world's most stable democracy? Okay. We're not a democracy.
I used to hate that. I used to hate people like, I got it, Mr. Constitution in the pocket
protector. But it's
protector.
So important
It is so important.
Because
democracy
is the new way to describe socialism.
Yes, it is the way to get to socialism, which eventually gets you to totalitarianism. It's Venezuela.
Exactly.
Remember, he was a democratically elected, and then you fill in the blank, and it always ends the same way.
Exactly. So it continues. The dangers are now bigger than the collective episodes of violence. The radical right was more successful in entering the political mainstream last year than in half a century, the Southern Poverty Law Center reported in February. The New York Times quoting the Southern Poverty Law Center is like Fox News quoting the Research and Statistics Department at the KKK. We can't allow that kind of yellow journalism to just go unnoticed.
I thought they'd put Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A as hate groups if they could.
And they have. Yeah. And they put David Barton.
David Barton, I believe,
is a terrorist.
Domestic terrorist, I believe.
It's such an illegitimate source. It's such an illegitimate organization, and they keep quoting it
because
like
they don't care. Honestly think most of the people at the New York Times don't have any idea that it's a totally bogus place.
I
really do. The average person, because all their friends are just like, yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center, Southern Poverty Law Center, Southern Poverty Law. Do you even know what it is? Do you even know what money is behind it? Do you even know what they say?
I mean, they have to know, though. It's nothing but a left wing, a far left, extreme left wing organization.
I don't think they care. I don't think, even if they do, they don't think there's a problem with that.
Yeah, they certainly don't care.
Right. If you're politically engaged, I think you know it. But I mean, the thing that sucks about the Southern Poverty Law Center doing this in this crazy left wing way is that there would be real value to someone doing that work, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like tracking groups and on both sides.
But they don't do that.
Yeah, they don't.
And everybody knows it. They don't do that. But also, as we've talked about, these goofballs in the alt-right are not on the right. That's where the word alt, short for alternative, comes from, right? And these Nazis that are running around now all of a sudden, they're not an American right-wing organization. We don't live in Europe, so we shouldn't have to keep saying this. But the right is for small government and not for a government that can put people in concentration camps.
So
at least conservatives.
Words mean things, I guess.
Here's what I want you to do. Sarah, you play, what is it, the Steve Bannon cut that we played earlier today?
Oh, it's cut 9, I think, Sarah.
Could you play cut 9 for me? If Steve Bannon, this is 60 Minutes last night, tell me that this is what the right believes.
Yeah. There's no path to citizenship, no path to a green card, and no amnesty. Okay. Amnesty is non-negotiable.
Okay. America was, in the eyes of so many people, and it's what people respect America for. It is people who've been able to come here, find a place,
legally
contribute to the economy.
Yeah, but that's not the way
that's
he answers.
What immigration has been.
Because that's the
in
answer.
Yeah.
And you
yes.
seem to want to turn it around and stop it.
You could be more dead wrong. America was built on her citizens.
We're all immigrants.
America was built
except
on her
citizens. Except the Native Americans
over here. Don't give me, this is the thing of the left. Charlie, that's beneath you. Yeah. America's built on our citizens. Look at the 19th century. What built America is called the American system. From Hamilton to Polk to Henry Clay to Lincoln to the Roosevelts.
Stop.
A system of protection.
Stop.
Okay, but this guy's he's not the beacon of conservatism.
Right, but that is what conservatives are now, because conservatives are hearing the first part.
Yeah.
And they're
agreeing with it.
Right. And this is the problem with white nationalists. The white nationalists. Yes, the white part is a scary, scary part. But the nationalist part is what gives them control to round anybody up that they want to round up. And so you know, what he's quoting here is the American system. Now, I had never heard, have you ever heard of anybody go, oh man, Polk, he was great.
Polk.
I mean, I'm pretty good with the presidents.
Other than me and Stu, nobody's ever sung the praises of James K. Polk.
Okay, I mean, I've never been around anybody who's like, oh,
and frankly,
man,
he was
Polk
terrible.
Was
we shouldn't have sung his praises. No. He was not a good president.
Really?
Really.
Because here's Polk, Hamilton, and Henry Clay's American system.
Okay.
One, a tariff to protect and promote American industry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Two, a national central bank.
Yeah, he was, yes.
Three, federal subsidies for roads, canals, and other infrastructure improvements.
I'm big on federal canals.
Four, an American federal school.
Yeah.
No, I don't know a conservative that is for any of those things.
Wow.
That's what he was talking about. That is, quote, he said, Polk and Hamilton and the American system. That is, look up the American system. That's the American system. So there are a lot of conservatives that are going right along with it.
And then he went to the Roosevelts, though, and we all know the Roosevelts are progressives.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Progressives.
Yes.
Polk also not a friend to persecuted religious groups either. Just not a friend. And not a good guy. But everybody remembers him for the way he treated Mexico, which was no nonsense, and we won that war pretty decisively. He's remembered for that.
Or they remember him for nothing. Let's be honest.
I was going to say, because I don't remember him for anything.
Which is why we made fun of it and had James K. Polk Tuesdays.
Right, right.
It's true.
So anyway, this article continues. In March, Keith Mines was one of several national security experts whom Foreign Policy asked to evaluate the risks of a second civil war with percentages. Mines concluded that the United States faces a 60% chance of civil war over the next 10 to 15 years. 60% chance. Other experts' prediction ranged from 5 to 95%. This sobering consensus.
Wait, that's just all the numbers. Wait a minute. That's just all the numbers.
Yes. No, it's not all. No, it's not all. There's still 10 other numbers.
Nobody said it was zero. And no one said it was 100. So stop your lying, Stu. Don't spin this. Don't do what you always do.
I know.
But listen to this. Based on his experience in civil wars on three continents, Mines cited five conditions that support his prediction. And this is what I found pretty interesting, because I think we'd all kind of agree with this part. Entrenched national polarization, we obviously have that.
Yep.
With no obvious meeting place for resolution, we obviously have that. Increasingly divisive press coverage and information flow, mm-hmm. we have that.
Mm-hmm.
Weakened institutions, notably Congress and the judiciary,
yes,
we have
definitely.
That. A sellout or abandonment of responsibility by political leadership, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the legitimization of violence as the in way to either conduct discourse or solve disputes.
And that's really, I mean, the only exception there, really the only one we might not have. However, with Antifa, you saw the left really step up and say, you know what? Well, they're just fighting fascists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, you have all of them.
You do.
The last
you have
one
all of them.
Is questionable.
But then he tries to pin it on Trump. President Trump modeled violence as a way to advance politically and validated bullying during and after the campaign, he wrote.
Okay, stop just a second. I happen to agree that he did from the campaign trail say things like, take that guy outside.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He did do that.
But he says, judging from recent events, the left is now fully on board with this. I mean, he's trying to pin the left's violence on Donald Trump. And you can't do that. You can't equate that.
You can't. No. Hello? Occupy Wall Street was trying to blow up a bridge in Cincinnati.
The left has been fully on board with violence ever since, forever. In the early 1900s, it was anarchists and communists. In the 30s and 40s, it was socialists. And I don't know, do the 60s ring a bell for leftist violence? I mean, how do they pin all of this leftist garbage on Trump? The Weather Underground was willing to murder 25 million people, and he's equating that with, well, but Donald Trump said, take that guy's coat away from him.
Right.
It is a difference in scale there.
A little bit different. Yeah. A little different.
But it was really cold that day.
It was cold.
With no coat, that would be very different.
But the point is,
chili.
The point from the New York Times, and it's strange because these are exactly the chalkboards that I was laying out when I was at Fox,
and they called you a kook for,
and they called me a kook. I mean, they called me, they mocked me with the doom room.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I said was coming. Now they're just catching up, and they're still playing politics. I beg you, we're going to get into this tomorrow. You can be behind the curve, or you can say, okay, what's coming next? I can show you what's coming next. I can show you where we should be headed. And it's not anywhere where everyone else is saying we should go. It's just not. But if you want to remember Katrina, you can go where the press and all the government officials and all of the politicians tell you to go, or you cannot go there and survive. It's up to you. But the New York Times, their sentiment is correct. What they don't realize is, what have they just done? They've just poured more fuel on the fire, because people who do recognize the left's violence from over the last 100 years, they feel, oh, look at the New York Times. We see what side they're on.
And that's true. But you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to, I mean, some of this, and I don't know why you're, you know, throwing out bathwater, because usually you just drain it, right? You just open up the drain and it goes down the drain.
What is that, the hole in the bottom there?
Yeah, it's just, kind of a hole.
Are you talking about old bathwater?
Yes.
I keep it in jugs.
In jugs?
Yeah.
Do you reuse it?
That's how environmentally correct
you
are.
No, I don't reuse it. I'm hoping that it'll ferment someday and we'll be able to make wine out of it or something. I don't know. There is one baby that's trapped in a bottle that I don't know how they got into the little teeny. But there,
yeah, it happens.
It does happen.
Throw the baby
out. I never did throw that baby out with the bathwater. It's still in that jug.
I don't think it's probably doing well at this point.
You
know, I'm going to say,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually would not turn out well. Babies in jugs.
Baby in jugs. Jokes are they don't. They never lose their hilarity.
Right.
Are we going to get some of those on Pat Gray Unleashed?
Yes.
Yes.
You'll have that in just a few minutes.
What hour does the baby jug joke thing happen?
That'll happen in the first hour.
Okay. Well,
so about 12 minutes from
now. Well, you don't want to miss that.
Don't want to miss it.
Only on the Blaze TV and radio, Pat Gray Unleashed. Brian Birdwell, he's a Texas senator. He is absolutely incredible. He was literally 20 yards from Flight 77 as it crashed into the Pentagon. He's covered in burns, 60% of his body. He's had 39 surgeries in the past. It's one of the most remarkable stories you've ever heard. Today, Mercury One is doing a fundraiser dinner at the Capitol, and David Barton is there, and they're doing a Capitol tour, and David is where they're going to film this, and then it'll be up on the Mercury One Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Mercury One Charity, and you'll be able to see that Capitol tour. But tonight, I think it's at 6 o'clock Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Mercury One is going to be covering something on their Facebook page, a presentation with Senator Birdwell, and he'll tell the story. And I'm telling you, you've never heard anything like it. You can check that out. We'll try to link to that from my Facebook page or glenbeck.com as well.
We should just give the little caveat that the Earth may not exist because of the solar flare by then. So if that's true, the broadcast will be canceled.
Okay.
And we'll have to reschedule that.
So let me just get this straight. Is the solar flare supposed to hit today? Is that today? Or I'm not sure when that solar flare is supposed to actually hit us.
It has just released a massive solar flare.
Yeah.
Largest since 2006.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, because they always say that's like an EMP. Do we have to come in tomorrow if no electronics work? We could stay home,
we're just
right?
We yell loudly?
I think we just stay home.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
At the point now that we're at, you know, you kind of read stuff and you're like, giant solar flare could knock all the electronics on Earth out. Huh. Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's about the reaction.
See you tomorrow.
Glenn.